This episode is brought to you by Progressive. Most of you aren't just listening right now. You're driving, cleaning, and even exercising. But what if you could be saving money by switching to Progressive? Drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average. And auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. Multitask right now. Quote today at Progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations.
Say yes to Pure Leaf tea and free gas for a year only at True North Convenience Stores. When it comes to quality, say yes to the delicious taste of real brewed Pure Leaf tea. True North stores are stocked with your favorite flavors like unsweetened, extra sweet, and raspberry. For a limited time, enter for a chance to win free gas for a year. Check the True Rewards app for details or download the mobile app from the Apple or Google Play stores. True North Convenience Stores. Fast, friendly, clean.
Wow. What's up?
I just bought and financed a car through Carvana in minutes.
You? The person who agonized 4 weeks over whether to paint your walls eggshell or off-white bought and financed a car in minutes?
They made it easy. Transparent terms, customizable down and monthly. Didn't even have to do any paperwork.
Wow.
Mm-hmm. Hey, have you checked out that spreadsheet I sent you for our dinner options?
Finance your car with Carvana and experience total control. Financing subject to credit approval.
When this happened, you talked about it on The Fan.
Here we go. First pitch time, 8:31. And Jeter swings. It's a high drive to left. It is high. It is far. It is gone. Derek Jeter hits a first ball fastball deep in the bleachers in left field. And on the first pitch of the game, the Yankees take a 1-0 lead.
When New York sports happens, talk about it here. The Fan, 101.9 FM, and always live on the free Odyssey app.
Absolutely nothing. Hey, 404 McMonagle here with you on The Fan. Our last hour of our 5 hour midnight ride. No, really, nothing is good. On the same day, I might lose Cole and Aaron Rodgers. I already had Aaron Rodgers on the Giants. He was going to be a Giant. Now all of a sudden, Minnesota wants a taste. Pittsburgh, Seattle, the Colts. I already had him on the Giants. What are we doing here? We'll find out later today as legal tampering starts at noon, I believe, today on this Monday afternoon. We will find out some of that stuff as free agency is in 2 days away, but we all know we hear about it earlier as the legal tampering period is going to start. But obviously the big news besides possible, the quarterbacks and all the trades and all the big NFL going-ons is Gerrit Cole. We don't know for sure. We haven't gotten final word. The Yankees haven't announced it. Cole hasn't said it. But Jim Bowden's reporting, and there's no reason not to believe this because what they have said paints the same picture. The initial test results suggest that Gerrit Cole should get Tommy John surgery, and the Yankees are currently looking for second opinions to see if they can avoid it. But Gerrit Cole is either going to miss the whole year or a hell of a lot of the year. And the New York Yankees, who pivoted off of losing the World Series, pivoted off of losing Juan Soto into a pitching first, defense second, offensive third type of team that still was good enough to be the best team in the American League. Coming into this offseason, I felt they were the same place they were leaving last season, the best team in the American League, with expectations of getting back to the World Series. Sure, different team, but that rotation was supposed to be dynamic. With Gerrit Cole at the top, Max Fried is your number two, who's as good as a number one. Luis Gil, the young rookie sensation, rookie of the year last year. Clark Schmidt, Carlos Rodon. That was supposed to be a dominant rotation. Now Gil and Cole both gone, at least for extended period of time. You're expecting Luis Gil back sometime in July, at least you're hearing June. I wouldn't anticipate him back until July. And Cole sounds like he's probably gone for the entire year. And so now, for me, this rotation is no longer special. It's pedestrian. The back end of the bullpen's still good. And I do believe as long as they have Judge in that lineup, this is still a playoff team. Bottom line, this is still a playoff team in my mind. But are they the clear-cut favorites in the American League? Are they the team that's supposed to get back to the World Series? Are they clearly better than the Boston Red Sox? Are they clearly better than the Texas Rangers? Are they clearly better than even the Astros have taken a step back? Or the upstart Detroit Tigers? Or the, you know, improving Kansas City Royals? Or the Cleveland Guardians? I think they're better than some of those teams. But they are not clearly better than anyone anymore. They are just one of the several teams good enough to make it out of the American League. And that's not what it was supposed to be. And still for me, despite losing two pitchers in the rotation, the Yankees have been good at finding pitching. The Yankees have been good at getting enough pitching despite injuries. Last year, they were in the same boat. No Cole to start the year. No Max Fried. Yes, they had Luis Gil, but who knew what he was heading into the year? And yet, Marcus Stroman had a great first half. Luis Gil was incredible in the first half. And the Yankees pitching staff went the longest in the history of baseball where every starting pitcher got out of the fourth inning. So, like, who knows? I still think they do a good job there. This is about offense. And this is still about, and make no mistakes about it, too, like, because I've seen a couple of things online. Like, the season's not over. The Yankees' expectations of World Series or bust are not over. This is still the Cole, even though he won't be here, the Cole and Judge window for a championship. The American League is still down competitively to the National League and overall. This is still a year to go out and make winning moves. This is a year to attack. This is where Steinbrenner needs to understand that $300 million sounds like enough to have a World Series team. And we sure would like to. You know what? Maybe take Cashman aside and have a conversation with him and talk to him about the job he's done over the last couple of years in building a $300 million payroll and not having a third baseman or not having a DH now that Stanton's gone or not being a complete team or whatever you want to complain about, Hal, that's fine. But the fact of the matter is this team is presently constituted needs more. And I still would rather have it in the form of a bat. They need more offense. Because when you look at this Yankee team, I've been saying it, you've been saying it, we've all been saying it, because it's a fact. When they lose because they don't score enough runs. And I didn't mind the pivot once they lost Juan Soto to a pitching team. I like having the best starting rotation in the American League. I liked having the best back end of the bullpen in the American League. And I even like some of the offensive moves. I think Bellinger, who's had a great spring, has an opportunity to have a great season. I think Goldschmidt can have a bounce back here. I think Dominguez is going to hit. You know, they need Volpe to step up. It's very plausible. Jazz having a good year, hit a monster shot home run yesterday. You know, Wells is having a good spring leading off. Like, I think the Yankees offense can be better than people think, but it's clearly, those are a lot of ifs. And when you go into the season with that many ifs, you can't have no third baseman. And right now they don't have a third baseman. And so we could talk about Cole, devastating injury. We could talk about Luis Gil, sucks, see you in July. And we can go through all the different options, the Lance Lynn's of the world and the Sixto Sanchez and, you know, Kyle Gibson or, you know, trading for Alcantara or trading for this one or trading for that one. Right now, I just don't see it happening for the New York Yankees. And I think the rotation isn't the issue despite these injuries because they still have Max Fried at the top. And as much as I don't trust Carlos Rodon in a big spot, over the course of the regular season, he's going to pitch to a 3.5 ERA. You know, this is a big year from him now. I mean, there's a lot of pressure on him to have a big year, but he's overpaid, and I don't trust him in the big game. But overall, I think he's a fairly good starting pitcher for a regular season. I think Clark Schmidt, the same thing. Will Warren could very easily be the next Luis Gil. He's had a great spring. He's really turning heads. He's been the talk of camp. The Yankees will be all right, but they need to add, and the owner needs to get aggressive right now. I mean, that's how I look at it. I know a lot of Yankee fans, impending doom. I get it, right? We didn't like the team to begin with. Although most of you would call me up and tell you how you like to have a more well-rounded team. And you could go, Soto isn't that good defensively, and blah, 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 blah. All a bunch of nonsense. This team wasn't as good as last year. This team had flaws. And right now, they just lost two of their best starting pitchers, including their ace, Gerrit Cole, and they might lose them all the way till next June or July. It is an out-and-out disaster of a spring for everyone, as Alvarez on the Mets, 6 to 8 weeks with a broken bone in his hand. Disaster. It's a disaster everywhere you look, but particularly for the New York Yankees, this spring training has been unbelievable. Stanton, who's got, and I guess that was news, that happened over the weekend. Stanton showed back up at camp with the New York Yankees, and he talked about how severe his elbow issues are. It's a severe injury. He's going back for another PRP injection. That's his third round. He has no idea when he's going to be able to do baseball activities. He believes he hurt it with swing adjustments that he made during the season last year. And right now he has no idea, but he's doing everything he can to avoid surgery, and he's going to try and get back. What that means is I have no freaking idea. But right now I know that Ben Rice is probably the starting DH. And I know that's not good enough. So these injuries, whether it be Stanton, Cole, Luis Gil, Severino, Efras, still waiting on Loaiza to come back. Cousins is hurt. Like, I mean, it's been a disaster of a spring training for the New York Yankees. But that doesn't change anything for me. The expectations are still World Series or bust. This team absolutely has a chance to be the best team in the American League. And as long as they have Judge, they're still a playoff team. The season isn't over. It's not time to sell everybody. It's not what can they do to sell at the deadline. It's not punt on this season. It's we move forward and we make moves to the deadline to improve this team. That's it. That's the bottom line. The Yankees don't quit. The Yankees don't give up. The Yankees don't sell. Not now. Not with Judge in the middle of his prime. And let's see what happens before we all get all doomsday. It'll be all right. And then the other top story is all the quarterbacks and all the moves going around the NFL. As we had one of the crazier Sundays right before the tampering period that I can ever remember. Geno Smith gets traded, which automatic, like, the reaction to that. I saw that. I was like, wow, Geno Smith to the Raiders. I'm surprised the Raiders traded a third-round pick. I mean, I get it. They need a quarterback. Obviously, Pete Carroll's there, the relationship with him and Geno, I suppose. But for a third-round pick, like, I'm like, does that take them out of drafting a quarterback? With the sixth overall pick? But the ramifications immediately were just like, okay, well, this sets up. Boom, 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 boom. Sam's going to Seattle. This one's going to this one. I was like, why is Geno Smith getting traded to the Raiders suddenly throwing like a big wrench into where every quarterback is going? I don't know. I didn't understand. Like, the instant reaction on Twitter from everybody was like, well, this means this. And then you wouldn't make that trade from Seattle unless you knew Sam Darnold was coming. If Sam Darnold was coming, they're not keeping him in Minnesota. What could Minnesota? Oh, suddenly Aaron Rodgers to Minnesota. Like, okay. Weren't these all possible before we knew Sam Darnold might not start and stay in Minnesota anyway? It's got J.J. McCarthy there. And again, they cut Seattle, cut Lockett. They traded DK Metcalf to Pittsburgh, and he just signed the big deal to stay with Pittsburgh for the next 5 years. Like, Sam Darnold's going to go there and throw to whom? Smith Enigma? That's it? And of course, so this is all sent off speculation. And for the New York Jets, as we spin the wheel every morning at 3 a.m. and we try to come up with a quarterback, it sounds right now they are hot and heavy. Hot and heavy for Justin Fields. And New York Giant fans, if you're on board with me and you like the idea of Aaron Rodgers and the young quarterback, we got to hope the Jets fail on this one because it sounds like Pittsburgh is in on him too. If he comes to the Jets, that really opens up the door for Aaron Rodgers to Pittsburgh. Now, the door is already open for Aaron Rodgers to Minnesota, and both of those teams are more suited to win right away with Aaron Rodgers than the New York Giants. He goes to Pittsburgh. He's got now Metcalf. He's got Pickens. He's got one of the best head coaches in the NFL. He's got a defense with Watt and a defense that, you know, can be successful on a team that's been a playoff team how many years. Like, he goes there, they're not winning less than 9-10 games, bare minimum. Unless Aaron Rodgers isn't able to stay on his feet. If Aaron Rodgers is upright, they're winning 10 games. Even in that division, they're winning 9-10 games. Then you go to Minnesota. I mean, think of all the weapons he has there, obviously. Arguably the best wide receiver. I know Chase just had the incredible year, but, I mean, Jefferson's arguably the best wide receiver in the game. They got Addison. I mean, they've got weapons there. That offense was just dynamic. They have one of the better offensive-minded head coaches in the league. I mean, that is a far better option. I don't know what they're thinking with J.J. McCarthy. I don't know if they want to bring Aaron Rodgers in for a year, promise him more than that. What is Aaron Rodgers looking for? But I'll continue to say it. If he's comfortable living in this area, if he wants to stick it to the Jets, I do think the New York Giants provide one of the best young wide receivers he could start working with, Malik Nabers. I do think if you look at the numbers before Andrew Thomas got hurt, the line wasn't that bad. They're at the top. They're, you know, going to be shopping at the top of the market of the interior lineman, guard, center market. They're going to have Thomas at one tackle. They're going to have Illuminor at the other. Evan Neal's probably, I read a report yesterday, he's probably going to transition to a guard as well. Like, that offensive line, it's not miles away from being at least competent. I just don't think it's like such a disaster. I think you can come here and be really successful offensively. Overall, will the team win as much? I don't know. But you throw in Seattle, I'd rather go to the Giants. Especially now, they have no wide receivers. You want to go throw to, you know, one guy? Now, you know, they'll bring in guys. We'll see how they react. But, like, Aaron Rodgers to Seattle doesn't make any sense to me. Aaron Rodgers to the Colts, another team he's linked to. I don't know if that makes any sense. So it's just a matter of how many years Aaron Rodgers wants, how much money Aaron Rodgers wants, how important it is to just attempt to win. Because, like, Pittsburgh, I would think, if they bring him in, they're not drafting a quarterback, at least not in the first round. There's a promise of if this goes well, there's next year too, where I don't think that comes with the Giants. And I don't know if it comes with, like, I don't know if it comes with the Vikings either. What are they doing with J.J. McCarthy? So, let's hope the Pittsburgh Steelers get their wish and keep Justin Fields, which I'm surprised that is what they're heavy on. I'm not surprised the Jets would be interested in it. Tyrod Taylor, and you have a competition between Tyrod Taylor and Justin Fields. You hope Justin Fields wins. He brings you a little athleticism, a dynamic athlete, one that struggles throwing the football, which can be a problem for quarterbacks, I'm told. But that could be a dynamic young offensive weapon for them to go along with, you know, Garrett Wilson and whatever else they bring in. Whoever else they probably draft at 7 overall, then would probably be either a wide receiver or the tight end out of Penn State. So we'll see, but I'm still head over heels, and the reports were a couple days ago, the Giants are all about it. The Giants are all about Aaron Rodgers, and we'll see what the contract would be. We'll see if he's willing to come here and tutor a young quarterback. I still think that's the best option. I suppose the more I think about it now, if you want to sell Aaron Rodgers, if you're that gung-ho on getting a veteran quarterback, if you don't love one of these two, or they don't, you know, that's the other thing too, right? You look at this, Myles Garrett just signed the massive deal with Cleveland after, you know, saying he wanted out. It was about winning, nothing that could be done to keep him staying. Well, if you make him the highest paid non-quarterback in the NFL and guarantee him $130 million, somehow he found his way to want to stay in Cleveland. And now, what are they doing? Right? They just worked out the new contract. They just, you know, figured out a new contract for Watson, negotiated a new deal there to save some cap space. They just signed Myles Garrett to the biggest non-quarterback contract in history. I would imagine they'd want to win. I'd imagine they made some promises. Like, what do they do with the quarterback position? At number two, I would think now is the time to take a quarterback, and I don't know what Tennessee's going to do. I mean, the idea that we've been talking about it, like it's a fait accompli that the Giants are either going to trade up to one or one of those two quarterbacks are going to fall to three. I don't know. And again, obviously, free agency is before the draft, so we won't know. But if Rodgers is looking for more of a guarantee, it's not even so much that he won't mentor the young kid. I'm sure he would. I don't think that's the problem. The problem is Pittsburgh might be able to offer him, hey, if year one goes good, there's year two. Minnesota might be willing to offer him, if year one goes good, here's year two. If the Giants draft a quarterback, they can't offer him that. But, I mean, I think they're hot and heavy on him. I think they'd probably pay him a significant amount of money. And I do think they offer him an offense that has an ability to be successful. Certainly, if you theoretically draft Hunter and you view him as a wide receiver, which I'm reading more and more that he kind of is being viewed as a dual threat or someone who could be more of a wide receiver and not just the shutdown corner. I view him as a shutdown corner who could have a couple gimmick plays. I've even read there are some teams who view him more as a wide receiver than a cornerback. But if you can give him Malik Nabers, Hunter, Wandale Robinson, Theo Johnson, Tracy as your running back, and an offensive line that has Andrew Thomas in it, and they go out and spend money on interior alignment as well, that's not a terrible option. I'm sorry. I know the Giants are awful, and I know, I yell about it more than most. I'm sick to my stomach about the Giants. Last year was disgusting. It's the worst season. The 100th year was the worst year in the 100 years of Giants football. It was an abomination. But that doesn't change the fact that they do have some talent. And I do believe Brian Daboll is not a stupid guy. I think he can run an offense. He's done it in Buffalo. I think he can do it here. You bring Aaron Rodgers or a veteran quarterback in here and give him another weapon or two in the offense to go along with Malik Nabers and Wandale Robinson and Tracy and Theo Johnson. As long as you can block it up, that's an offense. That's an offense. The Yankees need offense. The Giants need offense. The Jets need offense. Everyone needs offense.
Where'd you get those shoes? Easy. They're from DSW. Because DSW has the exact right shoes for whatever you're into right now. You know, like the sneakers that make office hours feel like happy hour. The boots that turn grocery aisles into runways. And all the styles that show off the many sides of you, from daydreamer to multitasker and everything in between, because you do it all in really great shoes. Find a shoe for every you at your DSW store or DSW.com.
What kind of programs does this school have? How are the test scores? How many kids do a classroom? Homes.com knows these are all things you ask when you're home shopping as a parent. That's why each listing on Homes.com includes extensive reports on local schools, including photos, parent reviews, test scores, student-teacher ratio, school rankings, and more. The information is from multiple trusted sources and curated by Homes.com's dedicated in-house research team. It's all so you can make the right decision for your family. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
Hey, I'm Andy. If you don't know me, it's probably because I'm not famous. But I did start a men's grooming company called Harry's. The idea for Harry's came out of a frustrating experience I had buying razor blades. Most brands were overpriced, overdesigned, and out of touch. At Harry's, our approach is simple. Here's our secret. We make sharp, durable blades and sell them at honest prices for as low as $2 each. We care about quality so much that we do some crazy things, like buy a world-class German blade factory. Obsessing over every detail means we're confident in offering a 100% quality guarantee. Millions of guys have already made the switch to Harry's, so thank you if you're one of them. And if you're not, we hope you give us a try with this special offer. Get a Harry starter set with a 5-blade razor, weighted handle, shave gel, and a travel cover. All for just $3 plus free shipping. Just go to harrys.com and enter code SHAVE at checkout. That's harrys.com, code SHAVE. Enjoy!
Hey, I'm Ben Stiller.
I'm Adam Scott.
And we make a TV show called Severance. Severance is back for season 2 on Apple TV+.
Before the premiere, Ben and I are going to be binging season 1 and putting out daily recaps. And after that, we're going to keep going as we recap every episode of season 2.
The Severance podcast with Ben Stiller and Adam Scott is presented by State Farm. Like a good neighbor, State Farm is there.
Listen and follow now on Apple Podcasts, the Odyssey app, or wherever you get your podcasts.
You just realized your business needed to hire someone yesterday. How can you find amazing candidates fast? Easy. Just use Indeed. Stop struggling to get your job posts seen on other job sites. Indeed sponsored jobs help you stand out and hire fast. With sponsored jobs, your post jumps to the top of the page for your relevant candidates, so you can reach the people you want faster. And it makes a huge difference. According to Indeed data, sponsored jobs posted directly on Indeed have 45% more applications than non-sponsored jobs. Plus, with Indeed sponsored jobs, there are no monthly subscriptions, no long-term contracts, and you only pay for results. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/listen. Just go to Indeed.com/listen right now and support our show by saying you heard about Indeed on this podcast. Indeed.com/listen. Terms and conditions apply. Hiring? Indeed is all you need.
When this happened, you talked about it on The Fan.
She is gone. It's a grand slam. Swung on, hit in the air to right field. It is high. It is far. It is gone. His third home run of the game. A Judgian blast to right field.
When New York sports happens, talk about it here. The Fan, 101.9 FM, and always live on the free Odyssey app.
All right, so just as I was coming, just as we were coming back from break, Fliegelman threw something at me, so let's take a second here. I've been, I was telling you that we need, as Giant fans, if you are with me, and I hope you're with me, that Aaron Rodgers is the best option for the New York Giants, that the combination of the veteran and the drafted quarterback, Rodgers and Cam Ward, would be the ideal, the dream situation. And if they want Aaron Rodgers, they're going to have to avoid him going other places. And right now it sounds like Minnesota's an option and Pittsburgh's an option. And if Pittsburgh doesn't stay with Fields, if Fields goes to the Jets, then that would really open up a door and a pathway for Rodgers, who probably wouldn't want to go to Minnesota. Two reasons. One, to go back and be the bad guy in against Green Bay probably isn't ideal. He'll do it if there's no other options, but I don't think he'd love to. And plus, it's literally following in the footsteps of Brett Favre. It would be a little weird. Wouldn't it be a little on the nose? I don't know. And it's probably not something he thought about. And I'm not saying he did it or, you know, with the Jets. It was just the best situation. The Jets wanted him more than any other team. If any other team even did, they were willing to pay for him. And he thought that the roster was talented, so he went to the Jets. But to follow it up with the exact same career path as Rodgers would be a bit weird. To go back to Green Bay as the enemy, I don't think he wants to do that. So he's probably looking for a better option. And if the Jets sign Justin Fields and take him away from Pittsburgh, I feel like that's a perfect fit for Aaron Rodgers to go there. You got Metcalf, who just got traded there, Pickens, Mike Tomlin, and, you know, Watt in that defense. Feels like a good place for Aaron Rodgers to go land. So I've been talking about Giant fans. Let's watch later today, and let's hope the Jets miss out on their quarterback. Otherwise, it could mean disaster for us Rodgers truthers. But apparently, there's someone else I need to keep an eye on. Who else, Fleeks? Just as we were coming back from break, you told me not just the Jets, someone else I got to focus on.
Well, in part, and this is maybe more Minnesota than Pittsburgh, but because Pittsburgh was also rumored to maybe be interested in this guy, and they still could be, but another apparently prime landing spot opened for Sam Darnold. He was rumored maybe Minnesota. Looks like that's unlikely.
Sure.
Pittsburgh was another option, and now he's not going to the Raiders. He's going to potentially Seattle. Though the Raiders were the big team mentioned.
Right.
Now it's Seattle that is taking their place.
Yep.
And the first major domino that fell, as you talked about earlier, was Geno Smith.
Yeah.
He makes the creates the vacancy in Seattle. It changes Minnesota's plans. It could change Pittsburgh's plans, which, of course, could impact the Jets and Fields and Rodgers.
Sure.
It's all playing connected down to it.
So
that first move was made by the Raiders. So who do you think you can thank?
Oh, you son of a... Do I have to blame Tom Brady again? That's funny. Yeah, no, that's true. It is. It's
with
all
how
Tom
much
Brady.
You despise him. I'm surprised your brain didn't reach that conclusion sooner.
I didn't put that together
because you were talking about Pete Carroll earlier, and right, obviously he is the head coach of the team, but there was so much discussion and buzz of, oh, maybe Brady's going to want to go after Rodgers because he was talking him up last year when everything was happening with the Jets, that maybe Brady would want to bring in Rodgers, draft a quarterback if Shador falls or they trade up, whatever.
Right.
And they made it clear, hey, Geno Smith, they traded a third-round pick for him. He's the starter next year.
Yeah.
If Rodgers ends up somewhere else, maybe it's Minnesota because they can't bring back Darnold, or if it's Pittsburgh because of all this, it's the Jets and Tom Brady who are responsible.
Yeah. That's not entirely false. I guess I didn't think of it because I assumed the Raiders were a possibility. So it like kind of it opened one door, even though it opened up a window, even though it closed the door on the Raiders. But yes, you're right. Now it's I don't know. The idea, like, as soon as the Geno Smith trade happened, it just felt like it threw the whole quarterback thing in flux to a level. Now, again, this is just Twitter. It's just reporters talking. I don't know, but it felt like Like, everybody had that domino thing. We were like, we were all sitting around in the dark, and then suddenly Geno Smith turned on the light, and we were all like, oh, boom, Sam there, this one there, blah, 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 blah. I was like, how did the Geno Smith trade suddenly crystallize every other quarterback situation in the NFL? That's what it felt like on my phone, on Twitter, monitoring it the other day.
A couple hours before the Geno stuff, yeah, it hurt. Foregone conclusion. Rodgers is going to the Giants.
Rodgers going to the Giants. Then Geno Smith gets traded, and it's suddenly like, could be in Minnesota, could be in Pittsburgh. I'm like, what? When did this happen?
Tom Brady might finally be beating the Giants.
Yeah.
Couldn't do it when he was playing.
That's true. I mean, I just don't get it. I don't know why that move has now crystallized everything. I get it. Like, they're trading away Geno. They have intentions of, what are they going to do, not play a quarterback? So it makes it seem like they have money. They're trading away, you know, Metcalf. They have money for a quarterback. Sam's the best free agent quarterback available. Minnesota doesn't want to pay him long term. Seattle will. And then that suddenly just thrusts everything. Like, but we were aware that it was an up and down situation in Minnesota to begin with. It was never like a lock that he was going to stay there. It felt like maybe that was the most, you know, that would end up being the case because it was the most suitable for everyone involved. But it wasn't like a slam dunk he was going back to Minnesota. And clearly the same thing with Pittsburgh. I mean, if Pittsburgh likes, it hasn't changed the Pittsburgh situation as far as I can tell. If they like Fields, but he goes to the Jets, where else are they going to turn? Sam Darnold? Like, is that what it is? Like, now Sam Darnold's not available because he's going to Seattle? Like, I don't know. But it sure felt like that. It felt like we were walking around in the dark, and then suddenly Geno Smith got traded, and everybody turned the lights on. And we're like, oh, now I know what's going on with the quarterback situation. Why?
That happens when there's one, like, big-time player that it sets everything in motion. Geno Smith is not that player.
No, I get it. And set in motion is one thing. I get it. Set in motion, like, all right, or you're waiting for that big free agent to sign. Like, once, you know, Ohtani 2 years ago, once Juan Soto signed this year, okay, now you know the floodgates will open and other signings will happen. But the idea that, like, suddenly the Minnesota job is wide open because Geno Smith got traded, or suddenly now Rodgers could head to Pittsburgh or head to Indianapolis, all because Geno Smith got moved. It just felt weird.
This could all lead to, Tom Brady could lead to Aaron Rodgers going to Pittsburgh, maybe winning there because everybody wins with the Steelers.
Right, yeah.
And because Minnesota ends up then with nothing, Daniel Jones being the Vikings quarterback. And there are people out there delusional enough to think that Daniel Jones can become a franchise quarterback.
No, there are.
Now, we're not two of them, but you know what? If anything, you know, bad things are happening right now across New York sports.
Yeah.
Why not throw that on the list?
Yeah, no, you're not wrong. Yeah, you're not wrong. The idea of, I don't want to say anything bad about the Mets because everyone's going to think I'm a hater or just a Yank, but I'm just it's just for fun, guys. Although it's not fun. But yeah, Cole goes down, Luis Gil goes down. Let's say the Yankee season's a disaster. The Mets have lost two starting pitchers. Say it takes longer for Manaea than now the broken bone in Alvarez's hand never heals. Clay Holmes, I know this sounds crazy, but Clay Holmes doesn't actually work as a starting pitcher. It's a disaster season for the Mets. Aaron Rodgers goes to Pittsburgh. The Jets are stuck playing Carson Wentz at quarterback.
No, there would be Justin Fields.
Oh, that's, well, under this, I'm just saying worst case scenario. This could still happen.
The guy can't throw. It might be worse. They don't think it's worst case. You do.
Right, all right, so Justin Fields to the Jets. Aaron Rodgers to Pittsburgh, and Daniel Jones to Minnesota. And all of them, except, of course, Justin Fields, but they're in the playoffs next year, or the Super Bowl. Pittsburgh versus Minnesota, Aaron Rodgers versus Daniel Jones. That would be something else.
You know why we should want Aaron Rodgers in Pittsburgh?
Why?
They come to MetLife to play the Jets this upcoming season.
That would be fun.
I hope he puts up 40.
Rooting against your own team. Oh, have you?
They're not my team.
You've officially, until Woody's gone. Yeah, until Woody's gone. Are you gonna hold up on that? That's tough, man.
Yeah, listen, it'll be so hard to not root for the Jets on Sundays. I can't imagine. that's gonna make my life better.
No, there's no doubt it's gonna
make their top target is a quarterback who is most known for not being able to throw a football.
Yeah, it's not ideal.
Garrett Wilson's going to learn, like, oh, Justin Fields was good in college because every player on Ohio State is a professional, and two of the guys on the opposing defenses are professionals.
No, I was thinking about that. I know they played together, but, like, the idea of complaining about Rodgers and the targets while you got 100 receptions, see what happens when you get a quarterback who can't throw the football. I mean, let's be fair.
You'll get targets. The ball sail over your head by a couple yards, especially if it's Fields, well, if it's Wentz, any of those guys.
Wilson could throw the ball a little bit, but I mean, he did manage to put up some decent numbers with Zach Wilson. But yeah, not ideal. This is not. It's not shaping up to be a fun season here for the New York sports. I mean,
we need St. John's. You already talked about the Rangers.
Yeah,
the Knicks are. You know, it's not as good as it was a couple weeks ago.
No. Right, the Knicks can't beat a good team with Jalen Brunson. Now Jalen Brunson's hurt. The Rangers are falling apart, just had a miserable weekend. Got beat by the two teams ahead of them in the wild card standings. And just overall look like a team that's not going to figure out a way to make it in. And even if they did, wouldn't expect them to do anything into the postseason. Even if you're an Islanders, traded away a beloved, you know, captain and player to... rightfully so, to move on, but still, that you have to say goodbye to him. Then the Devils have a huge injury to their best player and now are fading. I mean, what's working out? Like, nothing works out. It's crazy.
I think in the last week, the injuries, Jack Hughes has surgery.
Right.
Jalen Brunson goes down. Gerrit Cole.
It's crazy. It's true. Just in the last week, the injuries have been unbelievable. I mean, and hopefully Brunson's, coming back. But Cole's gone for probably the year, if you believe the reports. And I'm assuming they're going to be accurate because it sounds like that. Even, Cole speaking about it, Cashman speaking about it, it sounds like that. Stanton, who knows how he's going to be gone. Luis Hill, you're hoping for July. I mean, it's just a disaster. And even now Alvarez. That's a 6 to 8 week injury. And a broken hand for a catcher who's going to be, catching 98 mile an hour fastballs with that hand 150 times a game. Who knows how that impacts him even moving forward, right? I think we saw Benintendi struggle with it coming back from the injury too. Like, it's not an ideal injury. Those bones in that hand, that hammock bone in the hand, is a weird, tricky injury, especially for a catcher. They're just reamping up Nimmo with his knee. Last I heard on Friday, Manaea was getting imaging done on his oblique, but we're still waiting for him to start throwing. Maybe you're looking at the back end of April, hopefully, if he starts throwing soon. Montas is gone for, 6 months. 3 months, rather. Excuse me. I meant half the year. Half the year is 6 months in my mind. That's the mistake. But he's gone for 3 months, and you got, Paul Blackburn and Griffin Canning stepping in to take his place. And you got Cookie Carrasco and Marcus Stroman coming in to take their place. Like, it could not have gone worse. I mean, seriously. It's unbelievably bad what's going on here. Let's get back to the calls. 888-808-1019. Brad in Middletown. What's up, Brad?
Hey, good morning. How are you?
Good morning, sir. How are you?
Pretty good. Thanks for asking. Listen. I might be kind of brash saying that I ask you. I might be a rude guy. Forgive me. But the reason why the Yankees are in the shape they're in, there's two reasons.
Okay.
Brian Cashman and Aaron Boone. Cashman sold the Yankees farm system out for nothing. They for Frankie Montas, they gave up all those prospects, which, were good prospects. They traded away pitching for Juan Soto, who did great. But now they came to show nothing for him.
Yeah, well, you take a chance. They went to the World Series for that trade,
They went to the World Series for that trade, but the reason why Soto didn't sign that contract with the Yankees was because he even said on in the news, and even on TV, he did not want to play for a team that only had two players, him and Judge. He's on a balanced team now. That team's probably now they ain't got no pitching.
He said he wouldn't play. He didn't want to play for a team with only two players? When did he say that?
He said that a couple times. I heard him say it.
I don't remember that. Severino said that.
I remember Severino said that.
Well. I don't remember hearing Juan Soto say he didn't want to play for a team with two players.
When the announcer came out that when he signed the contract and he did the interview on TV, he said he did not want to play for a team and only had two players. Not in those exact words, but the two players stood out like a sore thumb.
We'll agree to disagree on that. I watched all of his press conferences. I don't remember hearing that, but that's fine. Go ahead. What else?
Okay, but the thing is, if the Yankees want to get back to the days where they were the Yankees, mm-hmm. where everybody was having to play for them and stuff like that.
When was that?
You need to check. Well, you remember all those days in the 90s.
Well, yeah, when they won championships, when they had a great core of young players. I mean, that's really what it was. Like those 90s teams, who were the big-time free agents that came to the 90s team and changed who they were?
Refresh my memory.
Yeah, because there aren't any. This is my argument about when the Yankees were the Yankees. When the Yankees were winning in the World Series in 96 through, 96 through 2000, who's the big-time free agent who came there and changed who they were? Right? They traded for Paul O'Neill in 94. Or maybe 93. I remember 94, he won the batting title that year. Whatever the case may be. So, like, O'Neill was not homegrown, obviously. Scott Brosius came in. I mean, but it's like those aren't big-time free agents. Chuck Knobloch was traded for. You know, David Justice mid-season traded for in 2000. Like, where's the big free agent? The Giambis and the Alex Rodriguez's and all those guys came later. Like, where's the big-time free agent who changed who the Yankees were? They were built through the core of that team. Right? Jimmy Key, right? He was integral. David Cone. Like, that's it. They won because they had great home talent and they put together a team. And like when the Yankees were Yankees, it's so dumb. I'm so tired of this argument about when the Yankees were the Yankees. When exactly? Why is now the time they stop being the Yankees? Why are we picking today? Why are we picking this year as the year? Well, the Yankees are no longer the Yankees. Because Juan Soto left, really? Please. The Yankees were the Yankees. The Yankees didn't win a damn thing in the entire decade of the 80s. By the early 90s, they were such a poorly run franchise. They were in last place. They were in last place. They had, Mel Hall showing up with his 16-year-old girlfriend and mountain lions in the clubhouse. Right? Steve Howe doing God knows what. The team was a laughingstock and a disaster. George Steinbrenner traded away every single prospect when he got banned from baseball for digging up dirt on his star player. The entire Yankee crowd just went absolutely nuts in applause that Steinbrenner was being banished from the team. But no, they were still the Yankees then. From 1964 to 1976, they didn't win a damn thing. From 1964 to 1996, they won two championships. Two. Like the idea, when did they, none of that stopped them from being the Yankees. The owner getting suspended and banished from the game for digging up dirt on his star player. Now, still the Yankees. Still the Yankees. Finishing in last place, Mel Hall bringing cougars and 16-year-old girlfriends to events. Nope, still the Yankees. Now, today, off the World Series, going into a season without a third baseman. We're not the Yankees anymore. Off a World Series appearance. Like, it's just so dumb. I hate that argument, not the Yankees anymore. They're the Yankees. They're the Yankees. George Steinbrenner never had to put money in other teams' pockets. You think George would have spent all this money if he knew a percentage of it was going to Tampa Bay so they could be smart and pocket that money or take it and put it to some players? Do you think he would do that? Like, it just drives me nuts when the Yankees were Yankees. And again, when the Yankees were Yankees signing all the free agents, they didn't win anything. 09, that's it. From 2000 to 09, they signed Jason Giambi. They signed Mike Mussina. Like, they went out and spent all this money and didn't win a damn thing until 09 when they spent a half a billion dollars. And then that same team won one championship. That's it. Same team lost in 2010. Same team lost in 11 and 12.
Like, the reason they're in the position they're in. They were in the World Series last year. What kind of terrible position are they in? Well, the reason it's like this. The reason it's like what? A team that's still projected by Pecota to win the most games in the American League coming off a World Series appearance last year? What position are they in? That we can't even... Oh, it's because of this guy and that guy that we're in this terrible position. They're not in a terrible position. They've got some injuries, and I don't feel as hopeful about them winning the World Series as I did 2 days ago. Fair. But, like, they're in this horrible, terrible position that Brian Cashman and Boone has led them to. It's a disaster because they dropped the ball in the fifth inning of the World Series. Man. 28 other teams wishes they were in the terrible position the Yankees were in. Drives me nuts. Big bad Yankees. They haven't been, other than the 4 years or the 5 years they put together that run, the dynasty run with Jeter, Posada, Bernie, Mariano, Andy Pettit, all homegrown guys. Yeah, they had a high payroll because they had to pay those homegrown guys eventually, but they were all homegrown guys for the most part. A couple, you know, the Scott Brosius of the world, the Chuck Knoblauchs, the El Duque Hernandez, like those guys. Okay, you had to mix them in, sure. Denny Nagel. They were all homegrown, and they were great. Other than those 5 years, the Yankees haven't been the big bad Yankees since before the draft was instituted. You got to go back to the 60s when Mantle and Yogi Berra were winning championships to call them the big bad Yankees. It's stupid. Why? Because they were willing to spend money on Jason Giambi? They were still the big bad. At least they were the big bad Yankees. They went out and stole Jose Contreras from the Red Sox. It's dumb.
When this happened, you talked about it on The Fan.
People say Aaron's going to be sad to see Shea Stadium go, and I said I'm not. You know, I'm not at all. I think it has seen its day, and it is. It has some scars that are ready to go, and the new stadium is going to be terrific.
When New York sports happens, talk about it here. The Fan, 101.9 FM, and always live on the Free Odyssey app.
All right, just a few minutes left. Let's try and get through as many phone calls as we can until the top of the hour and finish off our Monday and get you ready for the rest of the day. Got to be locked in. If yesterday is any pretense on what to come, a lot of NFL news coming out later today. 888-808-1019. Let's go to Carlos in Queens. What's up, Carlos?
Hey, what's happening?
What's up?
Listen, I'm just going to be real honest with you. You know, you're talking about, oh, it's time burn up this and that. Listen, at the end of the day, Yankees used to do whatever it takes to win. Now, the Yankees pay attention. You know what I'm saying? Like, yeah. They're like, oh, we can't go over this threshold. We can't go over this.
Yeah, because they didn't have the thresholds before.
But let me tell you something, son. Let me tell you something.
Okay.
The amount of revenue that they get just for being the Yankees is more than any other team in MLB. So, like, that's why if you was to go to any third world country, they know who the Yankees are. But now you can't go over a few dollars that you get.
Well, listen, there's a difference. I get it.
With Joy Steinbrenner and who his son is.
Yeah, but he has ramifications that his father didn't have to deal with. He didn't have the luxury tax putting team money in other teams' pocket. His father also started the groundwork and wanted the building, the new Yankee Stadium, that he has to pay $600 million a year to lease. So we say the revenue, I understand that. $600 million goes to the building. George didn't have to pay for the building.
Listen, I enjoy listening to you, but at the end of the day, Yankees are the Yankees. It does not matter. Yankees.
And they consistently have, other than the Dodgers, they have the high. They're right there with the Mets, the Phillies, the Dodgers. They never have not a top three payroll in baseball. You make it sound like they don't spend money. Do I agree they need a third baseman and Hal needs to pony up a little bit more? Yes. I agree. He should.
He needs to pony up more. There's been many a time over the last couple of years where he hasn't done the one final piece. I agree. But let's not act like it's on equal footing with what his father had to deal with. Let's just be real about it. His dad didn't have these. His dad hated the Mets. He literally traded players. Ted Lilly was moved because of a bad start against the Mets. There's an old rumor, I don't know if it's any true, Evan used to tell it, that Andy Pettitte was allowed to become a free agent and move on and go to Houston because his son was wearing a Mets hat at a Yankee game because his little league team was the Mets. It wasn't even a real Mets hat. It was his son's baseball uniform. Like, he hated the Mets. He hated Tampa Bay. He hated some of these teams. Do you think he would have relished the idea of putting money in their pocket? He wouldn't have. He never had these luxury tax. Never had it. And again, the building cost the Yankees $600 million a year. And whatever profit they do make, he splits four ways with three other siblings. I'm not trying to tell you shouldn't spend more money. But when we say, like, him and George, it's not the same thing. It's not the same thing. The Yankees aren't in the same place. Should they go out and trade for Nolan Arenado and not care about the $12 to $15 to $16 million? Yes. Yes. But let's not act like he doesn't care about winning. He spends $300 million a year. I'll show you owners who don't care about winning. You want to see them? They're riddled throughout sports. Hal's not one of them. He just needs to do more. And it's not breath like his father. It's not winning isn't breath like his dad. But his dad didn't have a lot of the ramifications he does. All right, that's it for me. I'll catch you guys tomorrow morning, 2 a.m. Fliegelman, thanks. Thanks for calling. Warm-up show is next. Bye-bye. 101.9 FM, WFAN,
New York. Take me out to the ball game.
What are you doing?
Did you know DirecTV has the most MLB games?
So you're singing.
Yeah, they put your favorite teams front and center right when you turn it on. Buy me some cold cuts and flapjacks.
Those aren't even the words.
I'm allergic to peanuts.
Stream DirecTV, home of the most MLB games. Visit DirecTV.com. Claim based on total games offered on national and regional sports networks. RSNs available with choice package or higher. Availability of RSNs varies by zip code and package.
Nerds! Today's episode is sponsored by NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast. Life comes with big money questions. Are target date funds a smart or lazy way to invest? Should you pay off debt or invest extra cash? Can you deduct your dog as a home security system on your taxes? NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast has the answers. Their finance journalists break down investing strategies, tax planning, and smart ways to build wealth and navigate big financial decisions. Work smarter, not harder, on your finances this year. Follow NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast wherever you listen.
It's that time of year again. My schedule is packed with bracket-busting, three-point shooting, nonstop basketball action. I don't want to miss a second of it. That's why I go for a five-hour energy shot. They're perfect for my days packed with back-to-back games, or whenever my favorite team is playing late. 5-Hour Energy keeps me going during the broadcast and the next morning when I need to get myself up and to work. Visit 5hourenergy.com for great deals and to stock up before tip-off.
Street Easy asked former New Yorkers if there's anything they miss about life in New York City.
Let me put it this way. House of the Home Theater sounds appealing. But that's until you realize you no longer have a theater district.
Whether you're looking to rent or it's time to buy, StreetEasy has the local expertise you need to never leave NYC. Go to StreetEasy.com to learn more. StreetEasy is an assumed name of Zillow Inc., which has licenses in all 50 states.
So I read in USA Today that the majority of people stop GLP-1 weight loss injection shots in a year. Now, what's concerning is if you get off GLP-1s, there's a real chance you can gain all the weight back. The solution? Alma said, a natural superfood protein shake. University studies show it optimizes your metabolism so you can lose weight easily, and Alma said it's been scientifically proven to preserve muscle mass. Use Alma said with GLP-1s or as a natural alternative. Find out more and see the university studies at almased.com. That's A-L-M-A-S-E-D.com.